Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast. This is your host, Taylor B. and the Bagels. Say hello.
Hello.
All right, and this week we are covering the topic of, did Rasputin shoot the traveler in the back during the collapse? This is been a really popular topic in the Destiny lore community for a long time, really since we started getting certain cards in D1 about Rasputin and his different contingencies that he had planned. But for the longest time there, we kind of got some information that made us think that wasn't possible. However, due to the recent release of the lore book Constellations, we now are, I think, the Bagels might disagree with me, but I think we can kind of reopen the door, at least, you know, without, we don't have to like confirm, be like, no, it's this, but we can kind of say, oh yeah, that might be a thing now, on this subject. So the Bagels, take us away. If you have any background or anything you want to talk about first, go for that. But, what do you think about this subject, sir?
I personally still believe that it leans against the Rasputin having attacked the Traveler. Just reading back through the old lore cards, it seems fairly cut and dry that that Rasputin, he had a set of commands that he was following, a set of if statements that had to be met before he would activate Loki Crown, is what he refers it to as, which is the activation of the weapons to use against the Traveler to prevent the Traveler from departure.
So, quick question for you. Is Loki Crown the action event, or is Loki Crown, you're saying, sort of like the weapons themselves? Like, we actually built weapons, or maybe Rasputin, the super automated, you know, kick-ass device that he is, built guns that were just for like shooting something like the Traveler? Or do you think this is more like a command imperative, like, okay, now I can like point these at this guy?
What it looks like is that Loki Crown is a combination of existing weapons, probably. I don't think they're particularly designed for use against the Traveler. More so, it's just what he has available to him in order to prevent the Traveler from leaving. That's my interpretation. I would assume that if he had a bunch of super weapons that he could attempt to use against the darkness, against the Traveler, he would attempt to use them against the darkness as well.
I wonder about that though, because like, I don't know, and this is purely me like projecting here. But, like, I would have a much easier time figuring out how to stab my buddy in the back. Not that I would ever do that, buddies.
That's fair.
I would have a much easier time figuring out how to do that than I would trying to figure out how to fight something I'd never seen before.
This is true. That's a completely fair point. Yeah, certainly, Rasputin has thought about shooting the Traveler in the back. There are several references to that throughout the lore, the Destiny lore collection. Basically, even like I believe Anna Bray references that she's not sure that we should trust the Traveler or trust Rasputin, and and as a result, it kind of spikes a thought process of certainly Rasputin's thought about not trusting the Traveler. So
well, this might be a tangent for old Taylor B over here. So you know, bear with me, friends and fam, but. I gotta say, I really feel like if Rasputin has that as a contingency, I guarantee you it's because it was put there. Like, Rasputin is a very autonomous, self-aware technological mind, you know? Like, but, like, his directives aren't his own. Like, I really disagree with the idea that some people have, and sometimes it's applied to some theories we'll be referencing tonight, but I really disagree with the idea that he abandoned his programming. I don't think that's possible for him. I still think he's operating within his predetermined parameters. So, like, if shooting the Traveler in the back is, like, a thing that he can even contemplate, or, like, yeah, especially given that he's a humanity, like, war mind, if shooting the Traveler in the back, and that's such, like, a human thing to put in there, let me tell you, like, what if our best buddy turns against us? How are we gonna fuck him up?
That's true. Yeah.
I 100% think that's something like Clovis Bray or somebody put in there, like, from day one, like, very hush hush, like, by the way, guys, he needs to be able to shoot this guy.
I could completely believe that because all of his initial programming was military, Rasputin. So you would certainly assume that they would want to program into him and say, "Hey, we have no idea the Traveler's endgame. We don't know what his game plan is. He could be building us up for something entirely not altruistic, something nefarious even. It's entirely hard to say." What the Traveler's endgame is. So that's completely a fair point. And presumably the smart people at the Bray organization would certainly realize that in some capacity.
I think we're on the same page, the Bagels. For the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to try and do like a quick recap. So the popular theory that has existed for, I think, a little over 3 years now, comes from a post on Destiny Lore from you, and I really apologize, person, if I'm going to butcher this, but it's like Gael Hellemar, G-A-E-L-H-E-L-E-M-A-R. But anyhow, basically, this person was having a conversation, like a sort of like back and forth on Destiny Lore with a you Vecreon. And they sort of, at the end of it, which is what I love about this community in Destiny lore, kind of got to the bottom of reaching a consensus that, like, at that time, they were like, yeah, it doesn't look like Rasputin shot the Traveler in the back. Much to what the Bagels was referencing, there's basically a number of cards that set up sort of like a programming code that Rasputin came up for himself, we think. And it's like, if this, then this. If this, then this. And there's, like, several boxes that need to be checked before what the community believes an event called Loki Crown would be put into motion, and that would be shooting the Traveler in the back. The biggest one, if I see here, I think it's the permissive potentiation isn't granted.
That might be.
Yeah. I'm going over it now. Please forgive us, listeners. But basically, long story short, without basically reading this person's post to you and acting like it's our thoughts, not all the and we think it's permissive potentiation as we glance at our notes here. But it didn't, basically not all the boxes were checked, so it looks like Rasputin just went into a hibernative state. And that could still be within, like, the parameters of his programming. Like, this is the best choice, because then I can wake up later and actually help who's left. As opposed to, I die, and then probably everyone else dies, depending on how he looks at it. And so for the longest time... what is this thing? For the longest time, we really thought for like the past like 3+ years now, we thought that this was going to be the ultimate case, that, you know, not all the boxes were checked and therefore like he couldn't have done it. Then this season walks in the lore book Constellations. Now Constellations is the lore book you get for completing the Sundial. That's right, Bagels, right?
Yes, it is for the Sundial.
Yeah, so Constellations is really cool. It tells viewpoints from different speakers throughout different points of humanity's existence under the Traveler. And long story short, they're kind of like... they're not like prophets, at least in the Abrahamic sense, because the Traveler never speaks to them directly. But they kind of have this experience when they dream of like a weird... almost Vulcan-y mind meld, to where like their perception of things and the Traveler's perception of the things are like just like smack in the middle of each other and overlapping. So as another card within this lore book says, you know, they the speaker has trouble figuring out where his thoughts begin and the Traveler's end. Now specifically, card number two, Severing.
Mm-hmm.
The traveler is experiencing, or the speaker is experiencing, the collapse while dreaming through the traveler. And there's these sort of like little breaks in speech where it like flips between the two thought processes. And so at the end of it, it ends with the speaker's thoughts overlapping with the traveler's, but the traveler's like, I think, very blatantly trying to run away. Now, some people have said that this card, it ends with the traveler, in my opinion, going like, run, 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 like, need to get out of here. As the, some people say this would be the traveler trying to communicate to the speaker that he's trying to run, but I have a big problem with this. That's not how the traveler communicates with these guys. He shares his own experience, or her, his or her, the traveler shares its own experience, their own experience. I'm even going to give it that, their own experience, with the various speakers. They don't, like, communicate with them, which I think is very well pointed out in the game from the speaker before he's dead, when he goes, I never said the traveler spoke to me. He speaks for the traveler. But anyway. So the idea here that the traveler is trying to run away and is screaming like, I need to get out of here, I think says, regardless of what it said in the opening cinematic of Destiny 2, like, maybe it was trying to dip out. Also noted in these cards are the cards are the four tenets of the traveler, of the speakers. And the more you learn about this, the more the speakers are kind of like, I don't know, how would you put this, the Bagels? They're like touched priests. Like, like, you know how right. In like antiquity, like someone with epilepsy or some of them might be considered as being like touched by God.
They're blessed, or I don't even know if blessed is the right word. It's almost half a curse. Kind of seems like at times.
Mm-hmm.
They just basically they dream, and sometimes they even daydream of what the traveler is experiencing, or something akin to thoughts that we can't quite understand. Just because of the scope of the traveler is kind of what it seems like.
Yeah, it sounds like it's hard to interpret. At times for these guys throughout the cards, just that they're having like a real like hard go at it, and it gets really interesting by the end of it, because you start talking about you have the traveler, one of the speakers is having a hard time dreaming with the traveler, so he builds they build an orrery. Sort of like, if you remember in D1, where the speaker hung out, was this sort of like, it's like a celestial sphere looking at the movements of the planets. And I think the one in D1 actually had the traveler as part of that, as one of the orbs, or the spheres. But anyway, and like through that and a mask that they wear, they're able to finally dream and interpret what the traveler is saying and like feeling. And
yeah,
so
it's...
like, yeah. Sorry. You jump in there, the Bagels.
No, I was just gonna say. Yeah, it seems like some of them have to go to fairly extreme measures in order to actually get the signal from the traveler amplified significantly enough to actually reach that dream state where they're hearing the communication of the traveler.
Right. But I digress. My point here was, yes.
I'll read them.
Yes, please, read them, yes.
The traveler is a force of benevolence. The traveler is a sentient being with free will, dreams, hopes, and fears. The traveler will save us. The traveler will leave us.
Note that last part. The traveler will leave us. And it also doesn't note what the traveler is for, like saving us from. I think with a very warlike species like humanity, it's very easy to say, like, just by lifting us up into the Golden Age, it saved us from ourselves. That's a different debate. And The final tenet is that Traveler will leave us. It's what it does. It left the Elixni. It left literally every other race that it visited, as recorded in the Book of Sorrows. And I'm sorry, I'm not the Books of Sorrows, but we only have the one. So it's the Book of Sorrows. Like, you know which one I'm talking about. Like, I feel like it's one of those sort of political moves, like, nah, dude, the Traveler is here for us. It chose to stand and fight. What do you mean? Like, let's build a city underneath it. Like, yeah.
And to be frank, the speaker even leaves out the final tenet as a result of not trying to instigate fear.
Yes, the bagels. I am here 100% with that thought. That was actually the next thing I was going to talk about, dude. I'm so glad we're in sync. Sorry if I seem extra gushy with the bagels, everybody. Like, we're new to this, and though we've been playing games with each other for a while, like, I think we're learning this whole back and forth out, and I'm digging when he's picking up what I'm putting down. So you deal with our well wishes. Anyway, that's exactly what I think. It very least opens the door. I don't know if Constellations does enough to say, oh, well then, yeah, Rasputin had to shoot the Traveler in the back. To me, it just says we might not have all the information of Rasputin. There might be some logs he's not letting us see because he's aware of the sort of cult of the Traveler that we have going. I mean, there's, when you have people who, like, the Vex can't simulate involved, like minds that the Vex can't reproduce, for example, like super powerful things involved, maybe all the things that we picked up in tidbits of information that they meant to give to us isn't the whole story. And so I think that what we learned from Constellations, the thing we do in the Sundial, which is, honestly, if you haven't done it, like, get the lore book. I think it's totally worth the read. Please earn your lore. It's so much more satisfying. It's like cooking for yourself. No, dude, like, 100%, like, if you go on Ishtar and you just read it, and I'm not saying data miners and all that, like, yo, yes, lore is for everybody. But if you go out there and you earn these books for yourself, and then you read the story that it took you however long to actually get all the pieces to, it's like cooking for yourself, man. Like, you might not have, like, you know, grown the cow or the wheat that you're eating that day, but, like, it tastes better because you had to put it together yourself.
And I want to kind of go back a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Your thought process on Rasputin holding back information.
Mm-hmm.
There's even previous entries that would certainly allude to the fact that Rasputin is extremely cautious in regards to Guardians. He certainly doesn't want to welcome us into his vaults with the exception of when the Hive invade and he actually needs us to help him out, because he's spread too thinly. He doesn't have the resources to protect all of his vaults at once, essentially. And so he references several instances where he allows us in, just basically offers us loot. This is Sleeper in particular comes to mind in order to get us there. But
Pocket Infinity, anyone?
Yeah.
Leave this out in the world, take it away from you, never to be seen from again.
But yeah, he certainly seems apprehensive of Guardians because he has no idea what we are. We're not human as Guardians, at least not in the most formal format.
Yeah, and we've existed at this point most of, like, if Guardian life is a chunk of time, we've existed basically the largest part of our existence. He's been asleep. Or if he did wake up, he, like, killed a bunch of Iron Lords. like not a sermon, I'm just saying. And so it's kind of interesting to me, someone who can easily put down Guardians, easily, like, didn't even have to try, didn't even use a resource that was made for fighting. He used something that was made for terraforming and was just like, no, this'll kill you though. Like, nuts to you. Like, you guys shouldn't be here yet. Like, yet another good point. Oh man. So tangent, you guys, spinfoil tangent. You ever heard the one that Rasputin is a like a his conscious exists all at the same time? Kind of like what they say about the scions. In the sundial. Yeah, and that's why he can do stuff like so like kind of like for everyone else listening. So like Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen is a great example of this. He's sort of experiencing everything at once as opposed to sequentially. But that's why they say he can like the Vex have trouble predicting what he'll do because he can watch the changes they make.
Interesting. I had
Yeah.
not heard that theory. Oh,
Yeah. That's one. That's one I got into with a bunch of people in the Spinfoil sub chat on the Focus Fire Discord. Well, no, I like there's a bunch of people in there like Mr. Dino Games, Wicked Jester. There's like a bunch of people in there who like Admiral Tront. Like there's a bunch of people in there who like submit, shoot down, and like help things evolve. So like I can't anything that came out of there, like even when it's your idea, if it survives, like if it survives the blasts, like that's everyone's thought at that point, like as far as I'm concerned. Like is we all got to this final thing that we've decided is a presentable or agreeable. Like oh dude, that was a real fun one. That was where we all decided that New Monarchy was were communists. But like
What?
not yeah, well yeah, because like not just communists, but like Stalin's vision of Marxist-Leninism.
Okay.
That can be that's a whole nother I'm sorry guys, I'm off on tangents today.
This is a good tangent here. I haven't heard this one either.
Oh dude, that's a really fun one. It's basically if you go through all their lore cards, Hideo like used to own these factories downtown, but now New Monarchy owns them. And they're hyper violent with like suppressing things that go against like what their political like needs are. So at that point, like when they put down the Concordat, 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 when they put down Concordat, I'm butchering it. But when they put down Lysander's faction, like that was sort of like in line with that. Like they didn't even have, I don't even think they had approval to do it. Like they just did it. And they did it like hyper violently, and all their stuff is if you look at the model of government they want to build, like they say it's for people of like unimpeachable character, and like they use the Zavala as an example. Whereas I say, like, you know, Zavala's a great example because you know he'll never accept the position. So you can say, like, no, like this is the kind of guy we want. Like, oh, okay, like you'll choose someone like that, but then you install whoever will like kind of like keep your party in power, and it becomes like a sort of like the bad kind of communist dictator.
Gotcha.
Dictatorship. So like when I say Stalin's version of like Marxist-Leninism, it looks like that kind of like state-run government. But
Sure.
anyway, that's completely different episode. I may have to edit that out. I'm probably gonna leave it in, but I may have to edit that out. But anyway, like maybe just maybe he didn't give us the full story. But it's not to say the users mentioned earlier with their very salient points were wrong. It's just to say this new information, I think, reopens the door to the possibilities of, you know, maybe Rasputin saw the traveler running and was like, no, not today.
And that's fair. I can't disagree with you that the door is definitely cracked open a little bit more than it was before. I would still heavily lean towards the concept that he probably didn't shoot the traveler, but it's the concept is still open for debate, especially with the release of Constellations. I think
Well,
that's entirely.
I hear you there, but like I do agree that things point to that side of the thing. But man, that makes for such better writing. Like I like if and when Bungie, if you ever listen to this, like holy crap, man, that is so much cooler than the Traveler decided to fight for humanity because reasons. Like I really don't need my special ego boosted that much. Like I would feel better about us if we were like, nah, nuts to you running. Like and then the Russian named robot shot its buddy in the back like in all those World War II stories. But anyway, for trying to run, for trying to run.
I guess if we want to open this up just a hair a bit more, I just had a kind of a tangent here, thought process. There's the one card that is referenced for Rasputin that references his overwrite of his moral structures, the Midnight Exigent process.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, it says that he shuts down at the end of that card, and a lot of people use that as a reference to say he overwrote his moral thought processes in order to shut himself down in order to protect himself. However, what if he overwrote himself in order to shoot the traveler in the back?
Thank you.
There's certainly an argument to be made there. Now, certainly that card ends suddenly, so we don't have anything to back that up. But certainly we could be missing information that Rasputin woke up later and or programmed a certain shutdown period where he was just monitoring the traveler so he could shoot him if the traveler started to take off. So something like that. That's all.
I don't know if he left it on a timer, but I definitely love the idea that Midnight Exigent, when that was enacted, all other functions ceased, and like he didn't need to check off every box anymore. And I think that goes back to what I was trying to say earlier, if you'll agree, if you'll humor me, where I was just kind of like, yo, like I don't know if he ever really abandons his core like targets and programming. I think he rewrites how he can do it, but I don't think he can actually escape those parameters. Like, I don't think he turns himself off and says, sorry, humanity, like, I gotta bounce. I think he's like, I don't know, man, he's like a loyal dog, but he's, like, incredibly smarter than you. Like, hear me out, like, we made dogs are man's best friend. We made Rasputin. Rasputin's not gonna actually, like, abandon humanity.
I guess to make the counterpoint to that, he might not have been abandoning humanity in that respect. He might have thought the best chance for humanity would be to shut down and preserve himself for the future.
Yeah, like Doctor Strange letting Iron Man die. Like,
yep, exactly. Yep.
Boom. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
I think. Oh yeah, sorry if you didn't see the movie that was over a year ago. You might be. If you were waiting to watch them all on high quality Laserdisc, you're going to be disappointed today. But anyhow, I think we are definitely at time. I think we just hit 30 minutes. This is our longest one so far. Yay, that's what I want. All right, so final shout-outs. Shout-out to High Quality H2O, our current and lovely clan. You guys are great. Wouldn't be here without you guys bringing us all together. So thank you. And, you don't, all listeners, you don't need to give to us, but, you know, the Australian wildfire is still definitely a thing. So if you like what we do and our opinion matters at all, like, if you have any amount, give it to them.
I agree. I do want to do a quick shout out to all the fantastic people on Reddit that have been shouting about investing their stonks in the obelisks, so you can get millions upon millions of the resource back, so you can get billions of XP and weapons.
The bagels, honestly, like. I feel like you're there for the weapons, but something tells me like you hit rank 100 a long time ago.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. You're over there feeding the birds with Mary Poppins Saint 14.
Pretty much
feeding the boards. All right, well, bye everybody. Hope you had a great episode. You can find us at on Twitter at Spinfoil Theory, or on if you want to shoot us an email. Over at spinfoiltheory@gmail.com. But yeah, be safe. Bye.
Bye.